This is a WSMI podcast from the Tally Broadcasting Station.
Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield.
During this holiday season, Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield would like to extend their heartfelt appreciation to all of their loyal customers and friends. You are what makes Taylor Tire and Auto a success. Have a very Merry Christmas and a healthy and prosperous New Year. Taylor Tire and Auto will be closed from Christmas through New Year's Day to spend time with family during this special holiday season. Wishing you and your family a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year from Taylor Tire and Auto in Litchfield.
There's been a lot of changes in farming over the years, but at Farm Credit Services of Illinois, our commitment to farming and its way of life has never changed. Our products and services are a good fit because we understand the importance you place on your family and your farming operation. If it's the security of a long-term fixed-rate real estate loan, the flexibility of a one-year product, or one of our operating lines of credit, Farm Credit provides the products you want with the service you deserve. As a farmer-owned financial cooperative, Farm Credit has been serving farmers for generations. Whether we're in an office or on the farm, our commitment is the same. Dependable, constructive products and services designed for the way you farm. When you're looking for a lender that cares as much about you as you do your farm, look for Farm Credit of Illinois. You can find us online at fcsillinois.com or at 800-444-FARM. Farm Credit, a good fit for all your farm financial needs.
And first of all, in our farm news this morning, the overnight crude oil market, 29 cents lower at $90.51. The Brent crude, 72 cents lower at $109.90. The February gold contract, $6.20 higher at $1,662.10. The U.S. dollar index, 0.085 higher at 79.763. On the Chicago Board of Trade on Friday, March wheat ended at 778 and three quarter, up 6.5. May wheat ended at 788 and a half, up 6.25. July wheat ended at 795, up a nickel. March corn on Friday ended at 694, up 2.5. May corn ended at 696 and three quarter, up 2.25. July corn ended at 694 and three quarter, up 2.75. January soybeans Friday ended at 14.24, up 5.25. March beans ended at 14.18, up 4. May beans ended at 14.09.5, up 4.5. January soybean meal on Friday ended at 4.27.70, down 21. March meal ended at 4.24.80, down 18. May meal ended at $417, down 16. January soybean oil Friday ended at 48.94, up 65. March oil ended at 49.44, up 72. May oil ended at 49.91, up 73. March oats on Friday ended at 3.49, down 4. May oats ended at 3.56 1/4, down 4 1/4. Right now we'll take you to the Department of Agriculture in Springfield for the Cash Grain Report.
This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture with Friday's Grain Market Report. The Illinois country grain prices ended slightly higher on Friday afternoon. The highest weekly export sales figures in over a year fueled the rally in wheat. Sales of over 1 million tons were the highest since the 2010-2011 crop year. Export sales of soybeans and soybean oil helped to lift soybean futures. In northern and western Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids mostly 3 cents stronger at 676 to 702, while soybeans gained 5 to 6 cents at 1393 to 1412. In central Illinois, country grain dealers quoted shell corn bids 2 cents higher at 686 to 703, and soybeans gained 4 to 5 at 1411 to 1430. In the southern part of the state, shell corn bids were up 3 cents at 674 to 710, soybeans mostly 5 to 9 cents higher at 1431 to 1447, and the wheat prices up 6 to 12 cents at 757 to 784. Illinois soybean processor cash soybean bids gained 4 to 5 cents at 1438 to 1449. Basis ended steady to 1 cent lower, ranging from 14 to 25 over January. Hi-Pro 48% soybean meal on a truck basis dropped $2.10 a ton to range from $4.39.70 to $4.49.70. Illinois corn processor cash corn bids gained 2 to 3 cents at 698 to 709, with basis steady to 1 cent stronger, range from 4 to 15 over March. Illinois River Barge Loading Elevators quoted producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents higher at 669 to 675, with basis steady, ranging from 25 to 19 under March. Soybean bids gained 5 cents at 1441 to 1449, with basis steady at 17 to 25 over January. And the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery, they gained 5 cents on Friday at 753 to 765, with basis steady, ranging from 42 to 30 under July. East St. Louis barge loading terminal elevators place their producer corn bids 2 to 3 cents stronger at 654 to 674. These same elevators raise their soybean prices by a nickel, with quotations at 1455 to 1456. Soft red winter wheat gained 6 at 767 to 768, and the Milo ended a penny higher at 654 to 655. Contract bids to producers for new crop delivered grain in northern and western Illinois. New crop corn bids from country grain elevators to producers range from 554 to 570. New crop bean bids at 1255 to 1270. In central Illinois, new crop corn bids range from 561 to 576. New crop soybean bids at 1268 to 1285. In the southern part of the state, new crop bids range from a low of 546 up to 584. New crop soybeans at 1260 to 1280, and the new crop wheat bids for July 13 delivery. Those bids in southern Illinois range from 739 up to 787. That is our country grain report for Friday. This is Jerry Milberg with the U.S. and the Illinois Department of Agriculture.
Livestock futures on the Chicago Board of Trade on Friday, February hogs ended at 86.37, down 65. April hogs ended at 90.12, down 82. May hogs ended at 97.60, down 72. December cattle on Friday ended at 129.40, up 55. February cattle ended at 133.57, up 52. April cattle ended at 137.22, up 35. January feeder cattle Friday ended at 152.02, up 75. March feeders 154.72, up 97. April feeders 156.80, up 97. Spot dairy prices on the Chicago Mercantile Exchange Friday: butter ended at 149.75, unchanged. Block cheese 174, unchanged. Barrel cheese 171, unchanged. The spot price for Class 3 milk on Friday ended at $18.61. Here are the bids from Hog Inc. Incorporated of Greenfield and Scottville. Corn delivered to Greenfield for December $6.82, for January $6.94. Corn delivered to Scottville for December $6.74, and for January $6.86. Beans delivered to Greenfield or Scottville for December $14.38, and for January $14.31. And wheat delivered to Scottville for December $7.38. For more information or to confirm the bids, call Hog Inc.'s Greenfield office at 217-368-2888. Pre-opening prices again: corn at Greenfield $6.82, corn at Scottville $6.74, beans at Scottville or Greenfield $14.38, wheat at Scottville $7.38. As we wrap up part one of the Morning Farm Show and overnight trading on the electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 770 and a half, down 8 1/4. May wheat trading at 780 and a half, down 8. March corn now trading at 609 and a half, down 4 1/2. May corn trading at 692 and a quarter, down 4 1/2. January soybeans trading at 1412, down 12. March beans trading at 1403 and a half, down 14 and a half. Part one of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Farm Credit Services of Illinois and by Taylor Tire and Auto on Tyler Avenue, Litchfield. At this time, color radar shows no precipitation in the immediate listening area. This check of color radar weather brought to you this morning by the M&M Service Company.
Ready to improve your farm's operating efficiency? Talk to FS about their precision farming programs and decision-making tools. M&M Service Company will provide you with an integrated system of agronomic products and services, placing the latest innovations of precision farming technology at your fingertips. And with expert analysis and recommendations, the process of decision-making becomes a lot easier. Discover how FS can apply precision farming technologies to your operation. Contact M&M Service Company today and find out why FS is your partner to a better future. M&M Service Company, your natural resource.
Our local weather forecast for today, a winter weather advisory in effect from 9 o'clock today until 6 o'clock tonight. Occasional snow possible today, up to an inch of accumulation. High temperatures in the mid-30s and light southwest winds. Tonight, cloudy and colder with snow likely. Low temperatures in the mid to the upper teens. For tomorrow, New Year's Day, partly cloudy and colder with a chance of a snow flurry. High temperatures in the low 20s. Your extended forecast for Wednesday through Friday, partly cloudy skies, low temperatures in the mid-teens, highs in the upper 20s. Right now at the Weather Center on this New Year's Eve, Monday morning, 32 degrees under cloudy skies. And over the past 24 hours, the Lang family of Coffeen records an inch and a half of snow. This check of color radar weather brought to you by the M&M Service Company. Part two of the Morning Farm Show is next.
Listen for high school basketball on the Tally Broadcasting Stations. Brought to you by Vono Medical Supply, Central Illinois' home care specialists. All-American Heating and Cooling in Litchfield, call 324-HEAT. Dr. Ellen Childs and Dr. Arthur Curl in Litchfield. Sullivan's Drugs with seven locations to serve you. And by Fleming Tallfall Accounting in Litchfield and Carlinville. And for the broadcast and online broadcast schedule, check out our website, WSMIRadio.com.
Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield and by Envirofoam of America. First of all, in our farm news today, the leaders of the House and Senate Agriculture Committees have agreed to a one-year extension of the 2008 Farm Bill that expired in October, a move that could head off a possible doubling of milk prices next month. But House leaders have yet to say whether they will allow a vote on it. The committee leaders announced Sunday that they had agreed on last-minute legislation that would extend the Farm Bill and replace dairy programs that expire at midnight Tuesday. But the House GOP has yet to endorse the committee's extension agreement, and leaders are also considering two narrower extensions, a one-month extension, and an even smaller bill that would merely extend dairy policy. As of Sunday night, Republican leaders had not scheduled a vote on any of them. In other farm news, analysts are describing the latest swine inventory numbers as larger than expected. As of December 31st, the U.S. inventory of hogs and pigs totaled 66.3 million head. That's a fraction of 1% higher than a year earlier. The market hog inventory at 60.5 million head was down slightly from last year. According to the quarterly USDA Hogs and Pigs report, the breeding hog inventory totaled 5.82 million head on December 1st. That total is slightly higher than 1 year ago. Reflecting on this report, independent meat market consultant Bob Brown said the winter hog slaughter will be in line with expectations.
This is, I think, a considerably bigger supply than the board has priced in, from the April contract all the way out into the fall. And basically, it looks to me like first quarter kill is going to be up about 0.5%. From a year ago, and like I said, I think that's about what the board has priced into it. But then I can see no reduction at all year over year in any of the following three quarters. That looks like a second quarter kill would be up marginally, like 0.3-0.4%, and then third and fourth quarter should essentially match that of a year earlier. And that's not what the market's expecting or has been expecting up to this point.
The average pig save per litter was a record high 10 to 15 for the September to November time period. Kevin Brost, who leads Procurement Strategies Incorporated, has a term for this level of efficiency, genetic momentum.
These large production units, which dominate this industry now, they are constantly turning over the breeding herds and bringing new genetics and increased productivity. It's just one of the things they have to do to stay in business, in my mind.
Coming into Friday's report, the fundamentals for the hog market were somewhat bullish, helped by strong pork exports and declining production for other proteins. Brown says the bull is still there, but it's just a bit smaller than it has been.
I am thinking that the export picture is still pretty strong. I have first half 2013 total pork exports projected at just about the same as a year ago. Is average on month of about 460 million pounds a month. And so demand is as big a part of the equation as the supply, and the demand side of it, I would be shocked if demand for pork at the wholesale level were not considerably stronger in 2013 than it was at least through the first 9 months or so of 2012.
For more information, producers can contact the Pork Checkoff Service Center. Go to www.pork.org. Last week, we talked to Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions about the grain trade. He went over what to look for early in 2013.
That hinges a little bit on what happens in Washington, but if Washington stays status quo, so to speak, no new negative surprises, so to speak, then I look for a firming of the prices into the January crop report, January 11th. That's one of the more dependable trends, although past history, you've always seen past history is not a guarantee of future performance. As much liquidation as we've seen, we would anticipate that there would be some short covering into that report and also some positioning for the possibility of a bullish report. Recent USDA reports have seen a lot of liquidation right ahead of those reports, but we've done so much liquidation already, that leaves us a little bit more vulnerable to some firming into there, and I'm looking for friendly numbers for the corn, soybeans, and wheat coming out of that January 11th report.
And also the quality of the wheat crop will be a question if we don't get some snow as cover for this winter.
That is a real concern, and when you look at the condition of the winter wheat crop in the Plain States, it is very poor at this point, record low condition scores. The problem is we don't get those national ratings from USDA on a weekly basis to keep it in the forefront of the trade, and so the trade becomes very skeptical of those reports of how bad a condition the crop is. Therefore, I look for that to be kind of provide some support to the market, creates nervousness among end users so they become aggressive in buying the breaks. If we look at U.S. wheat prices now, they are at a discount to many of our major competitors on the global market. We should see a significant increase on these price breaks because of concerns about the condition of the 2013 crop. But as far as sustaining a meaningful rally based on those crop ratings, I don't see that happening before February at this point.
And that was Arlen Suderman of Water Street Solutions. Recently, the agricultural economist from the University of Illinois spent the week on the road presenting to farmers around the state. Farm broadcaster Todd Gleason was with them and files this report on deferring crop insurance income from 2012 to the 2013 tax year. He talks with University of Illinois tax specialist Gary Hoff.
If you can calculate your numbers for 2013 and calculate them for 2012, you can see how much higher that income would be. And then you make the decision, do I report that income in 2012, meaning I don't defer crop insurance payments I received, or do I defer it into 2013?
And do you have some rough numbers that seem to make sense as to when you might defer and when you might not?
It's on an individual situation. I mean, in my presentation, I take a hypothetical and give a set of numbers. For that particular set of numbers, the difference was $7,800 by doing the deferral. But it will change for everyone.
So everybody needs to get with their tax person, make sure that they understand what their income this year is, what their potential income next year is, and put the numbers in as they are currently set forth by Washington, D.C. for tax rates and see whether it makes sense to defer.
You're exactly right, Todd. The other thing to consider is holding off on filing your income tax return. Farmers are under the misinterpretation that they have to file by March 1. That's not correct. All individual returns are due on April 15th. All taxpayers are required to file estimated tax returns if they're going to owe over $1,000 of tax when they file the return. Farmers, though, are given a special provision. That provision is you will not be penalized for not making estimated payments if you file your return by March 1. This is certainly the year to make an estimated payment, and farmers have this special estimated provision that says you can make just one payment by January 15th of 2013 and be penalty proof. You base that January 15th payment on 100% of your 2011 tax liability or 110% of your 2011 tax liability. If your income was over $150,000, or if you can estimate your 2012 liability paying 90% of that. Now, by being penalty proof and having that April 15th filing deadline, I can also file an extension. I can file an extension up to October 15th. We will know, I think, what the tax laws for 2013 will be by October 15th. So you can make that decision on whether to defer the crop or not at the time you file the tax return and know exactly what the savings will be and in which years you should report the income.
Gary Hoff is a tax specialist at the University of Illinois. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason.
It's coming up on 6:29 on this Monday morning from WSMI FM 106. We recently talked to Trevor Meekum, the marketing manager for the Case IH Precision Farming Program, and he describes how it works.
Essentially, Randy, what we have in our equipment is a single-user display, the Pro 700, with a 372 GPS receiver on top of the cab. It's completely our AccuGuide system, completely integrated into our tractors. We've taken an integrated approach rather than kind of building on some of those pieces because we want to be able to take that from machine to machine, combine, sprayer, tractor, planter, giving them an operator an ease of use of comfort no matter what operation they're in.
Now, does this kind of equipment that you're describing, is it just for tractors, or can you take the same equipment, say, out of the tractor and install it in your combine if you need to?
Absolutely. In fact, the only thing that you really would have to take out would be the one display to take it from your tractor straight to your combine.
That's amazing. How does that work with all the different equipment that Case IH has and the different jobs it does?
Well, the thing is, you know, we look at it with this integrated approach. We have to look at the design in terms of customer ease, customer use, what did they really want from it, and a lot of that's built within the software. So if they've got a harvesting application, they can go right to the run screen and pull up their information or type in their harvest information. If they've got planter information, as an example, for their early riser planter on the back, you know, they have that ability to control that right from the Pro 700 display. So everything that you're seeing and moving forward, starting to come out of an A-post right into that display, it's really becoming the central control center, you know, that's running the through the veins of every other piece of operation, piece of equipment that we actually have.
That's amazing how it works with not only your planter, but tillage equipment, but everything you can hook up to a tractor.
It is. You know, one of the things that we're making sure that we stay in front of also is you see a lot of this consumer technology coming out with mobile tablets and everybody's wireless and smartphones, and we want to make sure that we have that integrated capability as well to transfer that data wirelessly back and forth, and that can be injected through our telematics system, which gives wireless information. So if that owner is sitting at his office on the farm and he wants to see that yield data, he can go ahead and extract that from his combine, pull that up on a laptop through a portal, and see what kind of yield data that's getting, what kind of fuel percentage slip. All of this information that then shows that maximization and productivity. We want to make sure that producer has that capability to be able to really drill down on that year-to-year financial planning that they're actually doing as a part of their operation. That's for us to maximize their uptime when it's most crucial, especially during those short windows of operation.
That's amazing to me how much the technology has been used in farming. I mean, the way you described it with the apps and the laptops and all that, it's come a long way from paper and pencil.
You know, it is. I mean, by trade, I'm a third generation family potato farmer out of southern Idaho. I grew up with this with my granddad and my dad and my uncle, and they'd be amazed at seeing a lot of this today. They're since retired, but to be able to see where we were then and see all of this evolve, and it's more than just a guidance, right? It's a system that's going, creating less fatigue for the operator. It's now literally taking those inputs, being able to simplify the calculation of that return on investment, because a lot of that has always been, you know, okay, I've got this pretty map. What do I do with it? How do I make sense of it, right? I think this is only an agronomist who can read this stuff. Not anymore. Not the case, right? We design and develop the part of our software offering that we offer to make it very simple, easy to use and understand. But the other thing, you always have to have with all this technology, you got to have the support. And that includes whether it's training for our AFS Academy, which we just launched this year. That's to the end user, to our customers. We do instructor-led trainings all around the region at our local dealerships that can be signed up through the dealers, as well as our support center, our AFS support center, which is true 24/7, 365 support based right out of Burr Ridge, Illinois. And these support specialists are people who've been in the field. They have they've been on farms. They've been in a tractor at 1 a.m. when they've been by themselves, and you're wondering, oh my goodness, my GPS is out. What's going on? You know, they know that feeling, right? And we got to provide that kind of support and confidence in our products back to our customer. And those are the people that we go after to make sure that they're getting the right support they need for these kind of products.
And that was Trevor Meekum of Case IH. And finally, in the farm show on this Monday morning, once again in electronic trading on the Chicago Board of Trade, March wheat now trading at 771, down 7.75. May wheat trading at 781, down 7.5. March corn now trading at 690, down 4. May corn trading at 693, down 3.75. January soybeans trading at 14.10¾, down 13.25. March beans trading at 14.03, down 15. We'll keep you updated with the commodity markets throughout the day on both WSMI and WSMI FM 106. Part two of the Morning Farm Show brought to you by Bishop Motors of Staunton and Litchfield and by Envirofoam of America.